Hey folks, welcome to the Kira Banks Show and week 51 of a Year of Self-Love Journal Book Club. So for those of you who are just finding us, don't despair. We're almost done with this year of self-love, but these recordings, they're evergreen. So you can hop right back in with us as the new year starts at week one or wherever. It's not something you have to do in order, but I've heard from a few people that, oh my gosh, I just found your book club. Love it. And I just want to name that. Jump in wherever you want to, and you have 52 weeks and it doesn't matter. You don't have to land on the new year. And then other people have been asking like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do next year? I don't have a book for next year to do, but I do have some ideas about different interviews and conversations I want to have. But if you have ideas or you want to talk to me on the podcast, reach out. I'm Dr. Kira Banks across all socials. And if you want some support or help around something that's happening in your life, we have email stories@raisingequity.org where you can email, drop us a note. So yeah, definitely reach out. This week's affirmation is, I am finding my voice. I can speak my truth, even if my voice quivers and my knees shake. So that might feel dramatic, but the first activity of this week is to think about a time where you've been reprimanded or ridiculed for speaking up. And so there probably have been times in your life where your knees have literally shaken, or you know, your voice quivers. You feel yourself not being able to speak at full power. And so I want you to really spend some time reflecting on those moments. And I was reflecting for myself, and I remembered this one moment in graduate school that I actually didn't in the moment think, it wasn't one of those times where it was like, oh, my knees are shaking. But I did have a moment of like, I feel like I should speak up. This is my truth. And I actually feel like it's more important for me to say something, that the cost is greater if I don't than if I do. And so that moment came to mind. And it was a moment when a colleague of mine was presenting about gender, and they were framing it as very binary. So this was like, gosh, 25 years ago now. But I wanted to make sure to share in the room, in the space, that conceptualization of gender isn't the only way that people see it. That gender doesn't have to be a zero-sum game in the sense that men are strong, women are weak. That there's some cultures where men can be seen as strong and also women are seen as strong. And that it doesn't have to be this binary either or. And so I was pushing us in the room to think about things in a more spectrum rather than a binary. And so, like I said, I felt like it was important for me to speak that truth. And I was ridiculed and reprimanded because this person couldn't take feedback. And it wasn't just that they couldn't take feedback. Like they threatened to sue me because I was defaming their character, because they were insecure in the program. And what it taught me, or how it impacts me till today, it helped me see so clearly, and this was probably a gift at the early part of my academic career in graduate school. It helped me see so clearly how sometimes when you speak the truth and there's tension afterwards, that's not yours to own. So sure, I have accountability in the sense that I said the thing and she reacted, but that tension isn't mine to own because I was speaking a truth. I wasn't saying, oh my gosh, you're so dumb to not know this. How could you not know this? I was simply sharing that there are different ways to see this concept. And so I think it served me because it taught me to not always take ownership when people have a reaction to a truth that I share. And so, of course, I try to do it in ways that are not blaming or shaming. And that also helps me feel confident that I can speak my truth. I do it in a way that doesn't leave people, I do it in a way that they have an option to not feel shamed. I'm not shaming and saying you should know this. And that if they go to that place and are shamed and get defensive and all those things, that's about their own stuff and not that I shouldn't have said something. So that was what I was thinking about when this question came up. And then there's another question that asks us to think about something we need to say that we haven't, and where does it live in our body? And this question reminds us that there is this mind-body connection that is powerful, that I hope is just a known fact nowadays. But to name, there's a book called The Body Keeps Score. And so if you haven't checked that, if you don't know that book, check it out. But it talks about how so much of what we experience lives in our body, that our body does keep score in terms of how experiences are, what's the word I'm looking for, are deposited in our body, where they live in our body, how different relationships and people make us feel, that our body keeps track of that and our body keeps score. And so for me, when I have something to say and I'm struggling to say it or feel like I don't want the consequences of saying it, I know for me that it's like my throat feels clogged. It feels tight. It feels like something's stuck, which if you think about it, like that literally and figuratively, I have something to say and it's not coming out. So it's like stuck. And sometimes I can also feel it in my chest. My chest can get tight, or what I think of as armoring. Some somatic work that I've done, like so body work, has talked about like how we can armor in our chest to protect ourselves. And again, like that can make sense, but that doesn't mean we have to continue to choose to engage in that. So this question about what do you need to say or want to say? What truth do you have to say? And then where does it live in your body? Because you haven't said it. And what would it feel like if you were free of that, if you didn't have that burden? So like imagine what it would feel like for your throat to feel clear, for your voice to feel like it could come out easily and not be stuck and clogged, for your chest to feel open, not armored and ready to fight. And so it was interesting that I was doing this in order. So I read the questions before I looked at the activities. The first activity for this week is about the throat chakra. So you might or might not know about different chakras on our body. And so this idea that we have different points in our body that are powerful, kind of like vessels and entry points into our physical and even spiritual selves. And that throat chakra is important in terms of speaking our truth and using our voice. And so this exercise invites us to kind of practice clearing it. And so we can do that through singing, humming. You might, if you've ever done yoga or any sort of chants in a group, you might hear people or meditation do the, kind of like hearing that sound. And then you can feel the humming in the back of your throat. So those different activities can help to expand your throat chakra. Even whistling or speaking affirmations, just speaking. It doesn't have to. If you're not one who likes to sing or likes to hum, then you could just speak and speak your truth, but maybe to yourself in a room by yourself. So think about for you, like, where does it live in your body? How could you clear that out of your body? Like if you feel like it lives in your legs, could you do some like jumps ups and down and like think about it leaving your body and getting composted into the ground and leaving in that way? So that reflection on for you, where the stuff that's stuck, the truth that wants to get out that hasn't yet been shared lives, will then dictate how you need to then physically kind of work through that, if that makes sense. And then finally, this activity that ends the 51st week is three things I know to be true about myself. And I think it's important to spend some time answering that question, because if we know things that are true about ourselves, those can be anchors as we speak our truth, as we do so with fear, with knees knocking and throat and throat clogged or voice quivering. Those truths can be anchors. So I mentioned earlier, and I am thinking about how I try to speak truth, is I try to do it in a way that is not shaming. And so a truth that I know about me, sometimes to my detriment, is that I can name things or share difficult information with people in a way that they can hear it, but doesn't leave them feeling completely ashamed. And so what I've learned is that sometimes people hear it, but they don't actually hear it. So they don't act on it because they assume that like criticism is going to come with a pointed finger and some shame. And so anyway, long story short, a truth I know about myself is that I have the capability to give feedback in a way that, that can avoid the shame response. And so when people have the shame response in response to a truth that I'm sharing, it's not that I don't hear them or that I dismiss it. But I know that a truth about me is that I'm not being cruel in giving it. I'm not coming from a place of shaming. And so that helps me continue to move through speaking my truth, because I know that what's true about me is I'm coming from a place of, this is a gift. Me taking my time and my energy and my words to share something with you is truly a gift, because I could not, but I am doing it, and I'm doing it in a way that's loving, not shaming. And so what are the truths that you know about yourself? And those can help anchor you as you continue to speak your truth. So I'd be curious, as we round out this year, you know, what have you learned about yourself in terms of your ability to speak truth to power, your ability to use your voice? And how do you navigate when your voice and that truth gets stuck, or when it's hard to share? Like I said, you can catch me across all socials at Dr. Kira Banks, and I'll see you next time on The Kira Banks Show.
Have Tita's bill or something you want to ask Dr. Banks? Contact her at kirabanks.com/stories or stories@raisingequity.org. Thanks for listening.